In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. To begin, I'd like to address the obvious, at least if those have watched me closely come down and process and walk around here, that I've injured my knee. Yesterday it was the game of parents versus my daughter's hockey team. And like any smart person, I did not wear the requisite equipment. And in my first shift, face planted. Now, if you had asked me yesterday morning what was the serious injury, I would have said my nose. The bump is genetic. It's not from yesterday. In fact, last night my knee was swollen up like a melon. So I haven't had actually a lot of sleep either. So there's a little incoherence to this preaching. Now that I've set your expectations high, let's begin. This is Advent 4, the Sunday of Love. And of course, we get today the story of the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Advent 4 is, I think, a Sunday where we ought to ask ourselves, are we prepared? This is the final Sunday before Christmas. And the secular answer to that question, of course, revolves around meals, cards, gifts, decorations. Our girls are aged 12 and 10, and so I like to say to people, this is a period of peak Christmas for us. Just endless decorations, endless things to do, endless demands by the girls, including things like advent calendars, even for the dogs. So it seems as if we're prepared, but are we prepared? Are we prepared for the profundity of the birth of the Prince of Peace? For love incarnate to come to us? It's a strange parallel question, the sacred side to the secular. Are we prepared to be joyful? Are we prepared for this new birth? What a great story today. The story of John the Baptist in utero leaping. And it reminds me 13 years ago when my wife Nikki was expecting our first Hannah. She was born in February. And it was around this time when I first perceived the whining in the womb. One of those shocking but marvelous moments in which pregnancy is not so much a thing happening just to one person, but the beginning of another. And there is this question of preparation in expectation of a child. You can prepare the room, you can prepare for clothes and diapers and all sorts of things, car seats. But can you really be prepared for the transformation of your life when that child comes? Here, this story of the visitation prepares us for Jesus, the Christ child, in this wonderful birth narrative in the Gospel of Luke. A striking account, though. This is a very brief first moment when Mary visits Elizabeth. The meeting of one old woman and one very young, both pregnant. Usually, we mark this day, this event, on the day of the 31st of May. I love that line in the gradual, sees this day turn December into May. This was the day of a feast day of my ordination, and it was very, very hot that day of 31st of May, 2018. But we look at the visitation this morning in the context of Advent. Why are we taken to this scene? How does it help us prepare? Our Advent readings are not exactly linear. Our first Advent Sunday was Jesus telling us of the coming signs. And then we've had readings of John the Baptist calling us to repent. And now we've gone quite a bit back in time to both the Christ child and John the Baptist in utero. And I think our Advent readings are not a preparation of the historical narrative, but rather, of course, something greater, signposts of meaning. That's not to say they aren't without questions. For example, why did Mary make haste to visit Elizabeth? And what does it mean that she stayed 3 months? And this is but a first small fraction of that visit. And was she there for the birth of John the Baptist, which was 3 months later? The gospel doesn't answer these questions. But I think what it does is point us to the greater meaning of what preparation should truly be. We expect kings to come in a kind of glorious, powerful center, out of royal families. And yet, what we find here is something far from it. Women, young and old, in the hill country, in out-of-the-way Bethlehem. And in Luke's gospel, the coming of the Christ child first announced to the lowly shepherds. Our reading from Micah fits this very well. I'm a big fan of the minor prophets of the Hebrew Bible. Minor just simply meaning that they're small and short. But they often pack a big punch in a small package. And are, by the way, some of the oldest texts in the Hebrew Bible. Micah is speaking at a time in which Assyria is about to conquer the northern kingdom. In and around the time of Isaiah, but unlike Isaiah, Micah is an outsider. Shows very little association with the temple and with Jerusalem, and in fact is very critical of the center of power and the center of culture. And thus, pointing to Bethlehem shows this gap in the understanding of those who think and expect the renewal to come from the greatest city, the center of power, to the edge of things, the far edge of things. I recall in the book of Micah one of the most memorable passages that comes later in chapter 6. He has told you, mortals, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but that you do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God? Remember, Micah says, what's really important. And so our preparation in Advent is not exactly what we think. It is, of course, well and good to prepare for meals and to give gifts and so forth. But one of the messages in Advent, and on this Advent in particular, is the message of making room, of emptying in order to be filled. It gives us our perspective on what a Christian preparation for the coming of the King is, to make room for the incarnate God who comes to the lowly shepherds, a king placed in a manger, born in a barn, in an out-of-the-way town, in an out-of-the-way kingdom, to a peculiar but chosen people. A child whose birth will forever signify for us that your life, our lives, have great cosmic significance. That God comes to us not us to him, and that we are beloved in his eyes. So, prepare yourselves for the transforming love of the incarnate God born of Mary. Amen.